In the months since Sandy, shore communities have gotten most of the attention, but inland neighborhoods were badly flooded by both a storm surge and runoff from rain. It's the second time many of these homes were badly flooded in the last 2 years, and now, as WNYC's Bob Henley reports, years of building decisions are being questioned as New Jersey grapples with how to rebuild after the storm.
Nowhere has the loss of wetlands been felt more directly than in Richard Barrera's neighborhood here in the Old Bridge section of Sayreville. Barrera Street was hit so bad after Sandy, it was one of the first places Governor Christie came to visit. It was the third time in a year Barrera, a disabled veteran, his wife and four kids were flooded out. Today, there is a Century 21 for sale sign out front.
I want out of here. Everybody keeps telling me it's not going to get deeper. It's not going to get deeper. That's what they said last year. Here it is this year, and we got twice as much, four times as much.
This neighborhood is several miles inland from the Raritan Bay that empties out into the Atlantic Ocean. It felt the 1-2 punch of an 8-foot storm surge from the ocean and the runoff from upstream development. Longtime resident Frank Mazzaroni says the chronic flooding can't be just blamed on side effects from global warming.
Do you put all of what's going on in this neighborhood or this river solely on weather change? Across the river, you see that beautiful house over there? That used to be a sand pit. Wasn't raised up so high, and water, excess water, would flow into there. There's an apartment complex right down the road called Winding Woods. They added on.
It's a natural floodplain. And so when you built these homes, you had to fill it because they were wetlands.
Debbie Manns, an environmental attorney with the New York, New Jersey Baykeeper, says this has happened all over New Jersey. Towns approve residential and commercial development on land that once soaked up the rain, and now the water flows across the pavement. She says each town decided to build without any regional plan about where that water would go. Sandy and Hurricane Irene have exposed the crisis many towns now face.
Lyndhurst, you know, Newark, inland communities in Newark were flooded. Moonaki, Little Falls. Do these communities want to stay where they are? Do we need to buy them out and revert this land back to what it was, which was wetlands and natural areas?
Mann says overdevelopment is not just fueled by towns looking for an increased property tax base, but also by corruption that tips the scales to the advantage of developers. In 2009, a federal sting netted more than 40 local officials who offered to take bribes in exchange for helping a developer with approvals.
When you look at some of the indictments that have been handed out recently, like in Hudson County, it's about land use and development and building. It's really incredible.
Even as far back as 1992, the State Commission of Investigation zeroed in on criminal conspiracies involving local officials in 8 of the state's 21 counties who were taking bribes for land use decisions. Then there is the legal influence peddling. Campaign contributions documented by New Jersey's Election Law Enforcement Commission made to local, county, and state officials from the real estate industry and building trades. In 2011, construction-linked building trade unions, realtors, and developers contributed $5 million to state, county, and local elected officials. Jeff Tittle is the director of the New Jersey chapter of the Sierra Club.
It's always been this sort of ratable chase, pay-to-play mentality in New Jersey about, you know, building anywhere, and, you know, that has made flooding worse. You know, overdevelopment and sprawl are the major causes of flooding in New Jersey.
These days, it's not just the environmentalists making this argument. Even the Army Corps of Engineers, the federal government's flood control agency, no longer wants to exclusively count on building multi-billion-dollar projects to replace the natural functions of rivers and wetlands. Colonel John Boulay, the former commander for the Army Corps New York District, says wise land use decisions may be more cost-effective.
You know, the floods are not going to get any better, so as we move forward, you really got to take a look at where you're building, stop building in the floodplain, and then we've got to find a solution for the problems that already exist.
Since 2007, New Jersey voters have set aside $36 million for a program called Blue Acres, designed to buy up flood-prone properties. Last week, Governor Christie told reporters he was hoping to get the federal government to help fund the state's Blue Acres program for places like the Old Bridge section of Sayreville.
It doesn't help to buy one house at a time in that section. You really need the commitment of an entire neighborhood to say, okay, we need to leave.
But Christie says the program should remain voluntary.
I still am not a fan of condemnation. I think it should be an absolute last resort to kick people out of the neighborhood where they say they want to stay and to take their property rights.
But that's been part of the problem with Blue Acres. Not everyone is willing to sell their homes, and even when they are, Blue Acres is tapped out of funds. In Sayreville, there are for sale signs, but there are also homeowners digging in to rebuild and stay. Deanna Glover bought her home as a single mom 17 years ago.
I enjoy living here. I live at the end. This is my nature preserve back here. If you look behind my house, it's all mine. It's not literally, but I feel like that's my area, that it's beautiful.
Since 2007, only 200 homes have been purchased statewide. But Sayreville Mayor Kennedy O'Brien is already banking on Blue Acres as the solution in his town's annual flooding. The mayor says the town has hired a consultant to ensure his residents know how to navigate the Blue Acres program and find their way to higher ground. For WNYC, I'm Bob Henley.